A suicide in White Sulphur Springs has the Montana Department of Justice investigating. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates Kearney.
And I'm Conrad Shad, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. The Dollar Tree Corporation could be facing heavy fines for safety violations at its Missoula store.
And a woman in Billings is charged for making five allegedly false rape reports over the past 5 years. An apparent suicide in White Sulphur Springs yesterday evening has brought attention to the Montana Department of Justice. A 42-year-old resident of the area who failed a drug test and was part of his bond release for the past charges, including a felony DUI and eluding law enforcement, was seen leaving town in his vehicle by a sheriff's deputy. DOJ Communications Director John Barnes says that the deputy initiated a routine traffic stop.
It was a standard traffic stop. The deputy approached the vehicle, ordered the driver to exit, and then the deputy and nearby witnesses heard a gunshot inside the car, and the suspect died on scene, and there were no shots fired by the deputy. Because the death occurred during a traffic stop involving law enforcement, it is being treated as an in-custody death, which those types of deaths traditionally result in a coroner's inquest that will be convened at a later date once the autopsy is complete.
Though the exact details of the scenario are not yet clear, Barnes says it's not uncommon for officers to not have a full view of the driver when they ask them to exit the vehicle.
Oftentimes, a deputy or police officer will order someone to exit the vehicle without being immediately up there by the window. And so that's, again, circumstances that we have to look at this point. I can only speculate, but this is all part of the investigation, basically putting together the pieces of the puzzle and the events that transpired.
Barnes says the Division of Criminal Investigation is routinely contacted in the events that a third neutral party is required.
Our agents were called to investigate after the shooting took place, which is commonplace for us to be called in to assist when a law enforcement agency wants specific investigative expertise or wants an outside agency that is considered a neutral investigator.
An autopsy is scheduled for the state crime lab in Missoula. Officials are waiting until the relatives have been notified to release the name of the deceased.
In other news from around the state, a federal agency is proposing $217,000 in fines against the Dollar Tree Stores Incorporated for worker safety violations in Missoula. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration in Montana issued 4 citations. The willful violations include failure to keep exit routes unobstructed, storing materials in unstable and unsecured ways, and using space around electrical equipment for storage. It was also cited for a repeat violation of failing to handle and store compressed helium gas cylinders securely. Dollar Tree Stores has 15 business days to pay the fine, ask for an informal conference with OSHA's Area Director Jeff Funk of Billings, or contest the citations and proposed penalties before the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. Dollar Tree officials did not return a phone call seeking comment.
The state has sufficient grounds to charge a Billings woman with tampering with or fabricating evidence by falsely reporting her ex-boyfriend raped her in August of 2012, the Montana Supreme Court has found. The court's 5-0 ruling on May 27th overturns a decision by District Judge J. Todd Baugh, who over the felony charge against Christina Nadia Nelson dismissed in July. The 24-year-old Nelson also is the subject of an arrest warrant in Flathead County, where she is charged with 2 counts of tampering with or fabricating evidence for falsely claiming that her prom date raped her and assaulted her in Columbia Falls in 2009. Prosecutors say that was the first of 5 false rape claims that she made since arriving in the United States as an exchange student from Germany. In August of 2012, Nelson went to the Billings Clinic and reported she had been raped earlier that evening by her former ex-boyfriend. Nelson said that she was attacked when she left work and was assaulted in his van. Police interviewed Nelson's former boyfriend, who provided evidence that he was out of state that day. Officers also obtained surveillance video from Nelson's workplace, which showed she was getting into her car after work and leaving, with no one approaching her. Detectives learned about 4 earlier rape reports Nelson made and declined to pursue, including the Columbia Falls case and another in 2009. According to prosecutors, Nelson also filed 2 false assault claims and 2 other false rape reports against the same former boyfriend she accused in the 2012 case.
A speeding pickup truck went off Montana Highway 2 near the top of Pipestone Pass south of Butte and caught fire, killing its 15-year-old driver. Butte Silver Bow coroner Lee Lebrecht identified the victim as Butte High student Kelsey Stratford. Officers say she was going to Thompson Park to meet a friend yesterday afternoon when the crash happened. The Montana Highway Patrol says a passerby spotted smoke near the highway at about 4 p.m. Trooper Ken Clappin tells the Montana Standard the pickup went off the curvy road, struck a berm, became airborne, and landed in a ravine about 125 yards from the highway. He says it appears the pickup truck's gas tank ruptured on impact, starting a fire that destroyed the vehicle. Butte High Principal John Metz says counselors were available at school today.
A Thompson Falls man is charged with swindling an elderly man with dementia out of thousands of dollars and transferring ownership of the man's Superior Area Ranch other property to himself. Darrell Enostrange, 53 years old, pleaded not guilty on May 12th to two felony accounts of abuse or exploitation of an older person, the Missoulian reports. He is currently free on $50,000 bail. A hearing is set for July 2nd. Mineral County prosecutors allege Strange deprived 84-year-old Ben Pote of food and used power of attorney to take money from Pote's bank accounts and to obtain ownership of Pote's 100-acre ranch and its buildings along with three vehicles. Pote's sister contacted the sheriff's office on September 20, 2013, to say she believed her brother was being exploited by Strang and that he was potentially drained Pote's bank accounts of $10,000 that year. Pote's prosecutors say it was appeared Strang was using Pote's bank account for personal expenses. A social worker visited Pote and found that he had untreated skin cancers and the only food in his house was peanut butter and milk, and the two horses and mule on the property were extremely neglected. District Judge Ed McLean appointed a guardian and conservator for Pote in October of 2013. During the proceedings, it was also discovered that Pote made a will dated in December of 2012, in which he had directed his estate and distributed to Strang. In November of 2013, the court evaluated the will and ordered it to return to Pote's personal property and revoked Strang's power of attorney. A Sanders County deputy interviewed Strang, who said he was aware that Pote was experiencing cognitive problems and needed help maintaining his physical needs with managing his financial affairs. Pote's guardian, Lance Josper of Missoula, told the Missoulian that Pote remains at home with caregivers while the case is being pursued.
The National Weather Service reports the threat of any significant flooding for western Montana this spring is all but eliminated. Record mountain snowpack this winter and spring prompted concerns earlier this year of potential widespread flooding. But Missoula area meteorologist Trent Smith credits one factor in particular for staving off any major flood problems.
We've actually had one of the driest Mays on record, so we really didn't have the precipitation or the rainfall to help raise the rivers. So we've had that dry period, but it's been fairly warm, so the snow melted. Only a few rivers touched flood stage, but again, it was just very minor in comparison to what could have occurred. But the snow that's left up there is in the high terrain. For the next week, we are still looking at fairly warm temperatures, but the amount of snow that's still up there is really not going to affect the rivers too much.
Smith says western Montana's rivers are projected to slowly and steadily start falling next week.
So it looks like right now that flooding should not be a huge issue here.
So just how concerned should we be about this general lack of rainfall during this critical time of year before the arid summer? Well, don't start panicking quite yet.
Well, just the flow pattern's been kind of more of a northwesterly flow pattern over our area. It's just been bringing in drier air. We just haven't been able to get the moisture to feed right into western Montana. Typically, El Nino, I mean, we're right in the transitional phase, so it's really hard to say, and the signal isn't as clear during the transition. Indications is that we hopefully by the end of June we can start seeing some precipitation, but right now for the next 7 days it looks pretty dry.
More on the weekend weather outlook on the Montana Evening Edition forecast coming up next.
And now for tonight's forecast. In Shodo, it's 59 degrees. In Hot Springs, it's 74. In Philipsburg, it's 67 degrees. In Rexford, it's 75. In Alberton, it's 72 degrees. West of the Divide, tonight, expect mostly clear skies with lows in the 30s. On Saturday, look for partly cloudy skies, highs in the upper 60s to mid-70s. On Sunday, again, partly cloudy with highs in the 70s to lower 80s. In central Montana, tonight, look for partly cloudy skies with isolated showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows 35 to 40. Saturday, expect partly cloudy skies with highs 65 to 70. On Sunday, again, partly cloudy, slight chance of rain showers with highs 65 to 75. In southwest Montana, tonight, expect mostly clear skies with isolated showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows 35 to 40. Saturday, look for partly cloudy skies, highs 65 to 70, and Sunday, expect partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain showers, highs 60 to 70. And now for the editorial comments of Sarah Howell.
The other day, I was reminiscing about the early days of internet access, back when an internet provider would send CDs in the mail, and we would load them onto the computer, which we would then plug into our phone line for dial-up internet access. A lot has changed in the last 10 years. Nobody plugs their phone lines into the computer anymore. Home internet is more common, easier to access, and much faster than it used to be. And there are far fewer providers, especially in states like Montana, as big multi-state corporations have bought out local companies and consolidated into near monopolies. One of those providers, Charter Communications, has been making news lately with an initiative aimed to lower its state property taxes. Charter, formerly Optimum, formerly Bresnan, operates in nearly 30 states, has 6 million customers, and owns $275 million worth of property in 31 Montana counties. Charter's initiative, I-172, asks voters to change the way the corporation is assessed property taxes and to backdate that decision to 2007. And here's where it starts to get a little confusing. In order to understand what Charter is doing, you have to understand how Montana assesses corporate property taxes. For most of us, we owe property tax on any houses and buildings that we own. This is true for businesses as well, except many businesses also own lots of different types of property. Charter Communications, for example, owns the infrastructure that allows them to provide internet across the state: wires and cables, equipment and tools, land, etc. In Montana, cable companies pay one property tax rate, but telecommunications companies pay a different and higher property tax rate, in part because the value of telecommunications services depends on statewide infrastructure. Charter was incorrectly classifying itself as a cable company in order to avoid paying their fair share of state taxes. The Department of Revenue correctly decided that based on the services Charter provides, internet and phone primarily, along with cable, it is a telecommunications company, and therefore subject to the higher property tax. It sounds pretty wonky, and it is. But basically, it's comparable to me deciding that my cats are dependents, and therefore I will pay less in income tax. It's an incorrect and self-serving assessment that the state has put right. Unfortunately, instead of agreeing to pay what it owes, Charter has opted to use all available means, first a lawsuit rejected by the state Supreme Court, now a ballot initiative, to avoid paying its taxes to Montana. So, what does this mean for us? Well, two things. First, Charter claims that it wants to avoid paying taxes in order to keep rates low for consumers. I suspect that my pocketbook is actually the last thing Charter is working to protect. In fact, if this initiative wins, Montana will lose millions in tax revenue, and that lost tax money, needed to pay for our public schools, roads and bridges, and other essential services, will likely be passed along to Montanans in the form of higher taxes for individuals. The other thing this means for us is that Charter is using our initiative process for a very specific and undemocratic purpose: to lower its taxes. All those signature gatherers out around town will tell you that this is about your internet bill, about property tax increases in general, or something vague about taxation and representation. It's not. This is about a corporation willing to spend millions of dollars to avoid paying taxes to the state in which it does business. I've heard from a lot of people who say they signed the charter petition without understanding what they were signing. That's disappointing, but not surprising, based on some of the misleading and manipulative messages signature gatherers are using. If you haven't signed this petition, please don't. If you have, and you wish you hadn't, you can fill out a form available from the Secretary of State and have your name removed. The form is called a Request for Withdrawal of Petition Signature. You can find out more and a link to that form at our website, MontanaWomenVote.org. Charter Communications is a telecommunications company. It says so right there in its name. It uses Montana land and infrastructure in order to do business, and it makes millions of dollars a year from its Montana customers. It should pay its fair share in corporate taxes. And I-172 is nothing but an expensive public corporate tax dodge. Please don't sign the petition to put I-172 on the ballot. I'm Sarah Howell with Montana Women Vote. Thanks for listening, and have a terrific weekend.
Sarah Howell is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates-Carney. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.